In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What do you think about the Christ? This question is the most important question that a person can answer. In fact, it is an eternity-defining question. There are many other questions, many other topics of discussion that are important in this life. They matter. We live in this world, and so matters of politics are significant. Our future and eternity is important. The way we prioritize our time in this life matters. But none of these things are the most important thing. The most important question is, what do you think about the Christ? Who do you believe Jesus to be? This question is the question that our Lord poses to the Pharisees in the second half of today's gospel reading. And this question is the culminating question in a series of questions that have been going back and now forth between the Jewish religious leaders and our Lord Jesus Christ. This begins several sections earlier in Matthew chapter 22, with the Pharisees sending some of their disciples, as well as the Herodians, to trap Jesus in his words by asking him about taxes. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Now, of course, matters of politics are important. In fact, the Bible has more to say about taxes specifically than you might realize. And so our Lord gives an answer to this important question: render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. But this is not the most important matter. The Sadducees take their turn next, coming to Jesus to ask about the resurrection. They don't believe in a bodily resurrection. The Sadducees don't. And so they want to trick Jesus with this hypothetical scenario about seven men who shared the same wife, and whose wife is she in the resurrection. And Jesus sees right through their entrapment, their plan. He also recognizes that their question is a genuine question. They may not be asking it genuinely, but it is a genuine question. And so he gives answer by reminding us that God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. The resurrection is real. Eternal life in the body will happen, but it will be different than we envision. Now, finally, the Pharisees themselves come to Jesus to attempt to silence and discredit Jesus where their disciples and the Sadducees could not. And so they contrive this question about the great commandment. It, of course, is meant to trap Jesus into saying something that can be used against him. There were 613 laws written in the Torah. And so the Lord Jesus must answer carefully, lest he be seen to diminish or disregard some of these important laws. But Jesus boils down the law to its essence and its core, because priorities matter, and the way that we live in this world is important. The Pharisees have malicious intent behind this question, but the question is a valid and important question. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two commandments, all the law and the prophets depend. And so our Lord gives answer to these three questions that address matters that are important. Politics is important because we all live in this world. The future and eternity matters because we are all made for it. The way we prioritize our lives matters. But none of these things truly matter when compared to Him who is at the center of all things. All of these questions are mere distractions if you cannot answer the most important question. Thus our Lord poses this question to the Pharisees. What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? This is the question at the center of all things. It is, as we said earlier, an eternity-defining question. What you think about Jesus, who you believe him to be for you, is the one question that determines your eternal fate. Now, the Pharisees' answer to this question is not wrong, it is not incorrect, but it is not the right answer either, because it is not the full answer. They say the Christ is the son of David. True, he is. He, like Solomon, was to be a physical descendant of Israel's greatest king. But this is only part of the answer. If one believes Jesus to be merely a physical descendant of David, then one has missed the true point. And so our Lord quotes the well-known messianic psalm, verse 1 of Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Now here's the question. If David, who penned this psalm, calls the Christ Lord, and he does, the Lord said to my Lord, if he calls him Lord, how can he also be his son? Now, this question is not meant in any way to diminish the reality that Jesus Christ is the son of David, because he is. But it's meant to point out the part of the Pharisees' answer that is lacking. He is God himself. The Christ can be both David's son and David's Lord in that he is greater than David because he is fully man and fully God. And so this question leads into an important confession of the two natures in Christ. Martin Luther teaches us beautifully in his explanation to the second article of the Creed, how it is that we are to think about who Christ is. Luther teaches us to confess, I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is Jesus, the man born of Mary. He is the Christ, the Son of David, the one promised in the Hebrew Scriptures. But he is also Lord, eternally begotten of the Father. Jesus Christ is Lord, but he is just not just Lord generically. I believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord. What he has done as the God-man going to the cross, suffering as a man for your sins and mine, enduring the punishment of eternity in a matter of a mere 3 hours upon the cross, something only God can do. That Jesus, he is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person. Purchased and won me from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy, precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, so that you and I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Just as he is risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, this is most certainly true. This is our confession. This is our belief. And this is the only adequate answer to the question, what do you believe about the Christ? So many theologians or so-called Christians today miss this point. They don't think that Christ, his person and his work, is at the center of all things. They prefer to focus on politics and the priorities of this life over and above Jesus himself. Such focus is blasphemy, not because such things are wrong and bad in themselves. Politics and the priorities of this life are important. But if they become the center of your focus, if they become that which you are fixing your gaze upon, they have become your Lord. And Christ, well, he's just a side benefit. My friends, nothing else matters if you don't ever keep the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ before your eyes. The devil, the world, and indeed your sinful flesh will seek to distract you from this central focus. They will seek to draw your gaze so that it becomes fixated too much on other things. May it not be so among us. May God grant that you keep the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ ever before your eyes, believing and confessing that Jesus Christ is your Lord unto life everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.